It is Thursday, and that is our usual time for Perspectives here on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is the second in our series of political perspectives in the run-up to the August 26th primary election here in the Tallahassee and Leon County area, actually all throughout Florida. The 26th is the primary election day, and we're focusing on the local candidates for offices in the capital city area. We have city, we have, well, a county race that is going to defer to the general election that will be coming up in November. And we also have a school board race, and we have a race for a couple of state House of Representatives seats. And that's all coming up here on Perspectives. This morning, we're going to be looking at the Tallahassee City Commission seat 2 race. There are 3 contenders who are vying for that particular job. And we did a sort of a pre-election, or actually it was a random drawing here before we got started to find out what the order was going to be so we could totally randomize this thing. And so let's introduce the candidates in that order, and we'll give them a chance to talk a little bit about their background, and particularly if you folks could be thinking about what in that background kind of, in your way of thinking, positions you to be the ideal person to take over that city commission seat. So first, let's meet David Bubba Riddle. Hey, David, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
Good morning. How are you?
All righty, sir. Well, why are you the man for this job, do you think?
I would say 50 years of life experience. I did 6 years in the military, 20 years as a correctional staff member at the FCI. I thought about what to say, and first thing I want to do is say I'm sorry that some people think that you're in the back side of your career.
Thank you.
You know, I'm 67, so I can imagine what they think. But my wife and I are celebrating our 37th anniversary this month.
Congratulations.
We've been in Indian Head Acres for 33 years this month. I feel like Tallahassee is a part of us. It is a part of us. And I think I could probably provide some leadership that, and a different perspective than most of the candidates are, and even some of the current commissioners. So that's the reason I'm running.
And this is not your first go around in the political world.
No,
huh?
Andrew Gillen whooped me good. You know, of course, that was expected. But you know, you got to try.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't hurt to try.
And that's right,
David. We appreciate that. Diana Arapalo is also here. And let's keep it in order. We'll go to Curtis Richardson, who is no stranger to local politics. And Mr. Richardson, why are you the guy to do this particular job here?
Good morning, Tom. I first of all want to thank you all for giving us this opportunity. Want to congratulate both David and Diana on their seeking office. It's not an easy thing. As you said, I've done this before. But our democracy depends on this, people being willing to run for office and debate the issues and let the voters decide who the best candidate is. I believe I am the best candidate, Tom, because I've lived in this community for 40 years now. For the better part of that, I have been involved in the community. When I graduated from FSU and decided that Tallahassee would be my home, I determined that I would be involved in this community and be active and make it a community that works for everybody. And so through my elective office, I've had the opportunity to serve on the Leon County School Board, was chairman of the board for 2 years, and the citizens of this area gave me the opportunity to serve them in the Florida House of Representatives. And so I think that gives me the background and experience to be able to, on day one, contribute to the operation of the city commission. In addition to my elective office, I've got a almost 30-year career in public education in this area and state government. I had the great opportunity of working for former Commissioner of Education Betty Castor and the late Governor Lawton Childs, and have been an education consultant, and now I am the STEM coordinator, science, technology, engineering, and math coordinator for the Gadsden District Schools. My wife and I built our home on the south side of town. We're committed to this community. She is involved in public office as well. And we're raising our children here who both attend public schools. And we just are excited about Tallahassee and where the city is going. I've had the great fortune of serving on the Blueprint 2000 committee, the sales tax committee. And so I have a vision for where this community is going, Tom, and I want to be able to work with the other commissioners and the staff at the City Commission to see that Tallahassee moves forward.
All right. Thank you, sir. Diana Arpaolo also joins us here. And a bit about you, ma'am, and how you think that contributes to your unique qualifications for the Tallahassee City Commission.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the opportunity. I grew up in Tallahassee. I'm a proud product of Leon County Public Schools, K through 12. I went to FSU, got a degree in communications, met my husband, Steve, here. And we made a decision to put down roots and raise our two children. We have a 16-year-old son who'll be a junior at Lincoln High School and an incoming freshman, a 14-year-old daughter. I've been here since 1968. I love this community. I've been invested in this community through school volunteer and community volunteer. My background, I started with the U.S. Forest Service in communications. Then I went to the state Florida Credit Union League doing financial work, doing communications at a trade association. And then I went to the state court administrator's office dealing with legislative and communication relations. I had the opportunity and made the decision to stay home, freelance, and raise my children and become very engaged in their school and the community through public service. And that was very important for me. And I've learned a lot from that. I've made a lot of great friendships and a lot of great connections. And I want to take that same passion for volunteering to the next level and to give back to my community. I think that we are doing some great things right, but I think we need a fresh perspective. Business as usual is not what we need on our city commission. I think we need someone that I bring the perspective of a working mom, a volunteer, an engaged citizen that is not a career politician, that is going to be looking at things with fresh eyes, new perspective, asking tough questions. And I think that's what we need on our city commission, not business as usual. And I think that's what sets me apart from my opponents.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking to the three contenders for the Tallahassee City Commission seat 2 race here on our political perspectives. And we also invite your participation as well at 414-1234. That's the local telephone number. Long distance, it's 800-926-8809. We have an email address too, which is perspectives@wfsu.org. And we also have a Twitter account, Doesn't Everybody, which is at WFSU Perspective. We're also being rebroadcast here, even though we're live on the radio waves. We are being rebroadcast on 4FSU, that's Comcast Channel 4, the evening of Thursday, July 17th, 9 p.m., Friday, July 18th at 9 p.m., Saturday, August 23rd at 8 p.m. We thank the folks from over at WFSU-TV for putting that together. All kinds of different issues facing the city of Tallahassee that Tallahassee City Commissioners have to vie with week in and week out. And I want all three of you to be thinking kind of your top three, if you could. But let me throw one out at you, since this is kind of top of the mind in a lot of discussion groups right now, and that is the whole gun violence thing. Our chief of police, Michael DeLeo, has put together a task force. All kinds of community groups are weighing in on that. And if I could ask you, Mr. Riddle, what are your thoughts on that and what the city commission could do maybe to kind of mitigate, reduce, whatever, the level of gun violence we got here in town?
These issues really basically start in the community, the neighborhood. We've got a really good police department. They do their job. Unfortunately, they go into areas that, you know, people are roaming around at 3 o'clock in the morning taking pistols and shooting at folks. And those communities need to police themselves at first. Let's face it, if someone steals your gun, you have no idea where that thing's going or who's going to steal it and where they're going to sell it. And it's easy to get guns. I'd really break down the crackdown on the guns issues. You don't see a gun going off by itself. It's usually someone stole it or bought it. But it's got to start at the heart of the matter. Let's start in the community. If a community's got some issues, they need to deal with it, along with the police. But there's no way you're going to solve that crime issue. Tallahassee's a fine town. It's got some areas that need to be improved. But I cannot believe that, you know, you can blame the police for doing their job. And that's what I think some community members think they should do, blame the police. I'm not into that.
Okay. Let me ask Mr. Richardson the same question on the gun violence issue.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. It's a complex issue, Tom, and it stems from a lot of different things. Lack of education, poverty, lack of opportunity, unemployment. And so we've got to approach it from a comprehensive approach. As I've said before, we can't police our way out of this. We've got to have prevention programs in place where we work with our young people in the community, make sure that they're in school and doing what they're supposed to be doing while they're in school. We've got to have intervention programs like 50 Large, the Boys and Girls Club, Distinguished Young Gentlemen, and the whole gamut of intervention programs that are out there that young people can be involved with. But we've also got to have incarceration. We've got to take the bad guys and girls off the street, those that are committing crimes and terrorizing our neighborhoods. We've got to take those people off the street. I'm very pleased to have gotten the endorsement and support of our police officers just recently. That means a lot to me because it suggests that they have confidence in the ideas and plans that I have for working with them and the community to address this issue. I want to make sure that our police force has the resources that they need in order to be successful, the manpower, the resources, that we have a well-paid police force. But they can't do it alone. We've got to have the community involved, as David mentioned. And, you know, I don't talk about it. It's something that I've experienced. When my wife and I built our house on the south side of town, it was burglarized. We called the police department. They responded, but we didn't stop there. We formed a neighborhood association. We established a neighborhood watch program. We began to have social events where neighbors got to know neighbors. And since that time, we have not had one additional incident of crime in our neighborhood. And so it's going to take all of us working together.
Political Perspectives, more to come right here on WFSU-FM and also WFSU-TV. Tallahassee City Commission seat 2 contenders with us here on Political Perspectives on WFSU-FM and also Comcast Channel 4. Reminder also that Bandwagon 2014, the primary election edition, is going to be coming up shortly, put on by WFSU and the League of Women Voters of Tallahassee, to be seen on 4FSU, Comcast Channel 4, Tuesday, August 12th. That's the Leon County races. And Wednesday, August 13th, we'll be covering the Gadsden and Wakulla County races. If you're unfamiliar with bandwagons, like the old-time political rally in the middle of the town square, and we have the Capitol Cordsmen who sing everyone into submission if they go overtime on their three-minute pitch, and it's a lot of fun to take part in, both live and also as you're watching on TV. So that's going to be coming up on the 12th of August and the 13th of August on 4FSU. Still talking to our City Commission candidates for C2. On the issue of gun violence. And right before the break, we heard from Mr. Riddle and Mr. Richardson. Ms. Arapalo, your thoughts on the gun violence that we're now trying to wrestle with in this community and what you as a city commissioner could do to help solve that problem.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I think, first of all, public safety is priority number one, and it has to be. I think we need to, as a community, we need to make sure that we provide our police force with the support they need, including the needed funding, to effectively do the job. With that, we cannot – this is a community problem, and it's going to take a community solution. We have to get to the root causes of this increased violence. This did not happen overnight. It is now under the magnifying glass, and as a community, we're starting to wake up and realize that this problem has been accelerated, and we just haven't really addressed it. We have a lot of great sources out there, resources like 50 Large, the Boys and Girls Clubs, but I don't think we're doing a very good job of pulling all of those resources together and effectively dealing at the root cause. And that's what we have to do, is to go into these communities and pull together and start doing that. It didn't happen overnight, and it's not going to go away overnight. It's a long-term solution, but we need to all be working together. We cannot just put this on the shoulders of our police force and expect that to be dealt with. I also, commend Curtis on getting the PBA endorsement. I did want to say, I had a great interview with them as well. I think they also see that I bring a good vision to the city commission in terms of really dealing with this problem. Not surprised that he did get the endorsement. I mean, he's had it for 8 years when he served in the House, so that was a logical. I wasn't surprised by that, but I'm looking forward to playing a role in helping moving our community forward. And as I said, priority has to be placed on public safety.
Yeah, absolutely. Public safety always the top issue, I think, on any candidate's roster of things that need to be tackled. But also, Mr. Riddle, let me throw it to you here. We were trying to hypothesize what your top three would be beyond public safety as a city commissioner. So you get the job and you're in your new office and putting everything out on the armor back there behind the desk, and you go, okay, what are the first three things I'm going to work on now as a city commissioner?
The first one, I believe, would be growth. I recently went to Tampa, my hometown, born and raised there. Went to the university there for a short period of time. My wife got her nursing degree there. We were going down there for some issues, health issues, and we literally could not find where we had to go. Tampa has grown so uncontrolled. It's become a concrete jungle. I lived in D.C., and that pretty well did the same thing. I lived in Atlanta, and that did the same thing. Come to Tallahassee, this is our home. We're very comfortable here. Now, as I mentioned, went down Tennessee and went down to Dixie Drive, and I thought, what is going on here? And then came back to Pensacola, and it's become a concrete jungle. I'm not sure if anyone's checking the growth or really care, other than, it's going to bring income to the city. But, with that kind of growth, we don't need it. I mean, someone needs to put the brakes on. I'm not saying eliminate growth, excuse me, but I mean, before you cut down a couple trees, put a slab of concrete, you really need to look at what you're doing. And that's basically where I'm coming from.
Okay, growth has been a huge bugaboo, particularly on the backside of that 2008 recession, where suddenly it seemed like we had an awful lot of pent-up demand for development in this community, and suddenly, boom, even while places like Tampa and Miami-Dade and even Orlando were kind of moribund when it came to growth. Here in Tallahassee, we were ramming ahead with the college town and that development you mentioned out there on West Tennessee Street with all the rental housing. And Mr. Richardson, what do you think of that? Positive, full speed ahead, put the brakes on? Where do we go with growth?
Well, first of all, Tom, let me say that it was an insult for Diana to say that I didn't earn the endorsement of the PBA. It was a fair process where we each went to an interview, and I earned that endorsement because of the ideas and experience that I have in working with law enforcement in our community. So, Diane, I think you owe an apology to our men and women of the police force for that statement. But let me say, Tom, that Tallahassee, I think one of the biggest issues that we're confronted with now is this whole notion of expanding our private sector job base. We've depended so long on state government for our job base as our economic engine. And what we've seen over the last 20 years is the number of state jobs reduced. The salaries that are paid to our state government employees have not kept pace with inflation. The benefits are not as attractive as they used to be. And so state government as an economic engine is not as attractive as it used to be. So we've got to become much more aggressive in terms of expanding our private sector base and creating jobs in the private sector. I was at a meeting of the Taltech Alliance yesterday, and I was very excited by what I heard from those young people who have ideas for creating businesses and creating jobs in our community. And that's what we need to be supporting and fostering so that we can keep this talent that we're training at our universities and college. We can keep that in our area, in our region, because we are a regional economy, and we've got to be thinking that way. The growth that's occurring in Tallahassee, I think, is a positive thing. It means that people are seeing us for as the capital of the state of Florida, an exciting place to be, and they want to be here. We've got to make sure that we manage that growth. We don't want to be, as David mentioned, a Tampa or Orlando where everything is paved over. We appreciate the uniqueness of Tallahassee and the natural resources that we have here, and we need to make sure that we protect those natural resources in our neighborhood. So growth is a good thing. It says that we're doing something right, but we've got to make sure that we direct that growth and that it's managed and controlled.
Okay. Ms. Arapalo, your thoughts on growth and growth management for that matter?
Well, I think we're at a really important time in our community. I mean, we're on the cusp of becoming the world-class mid-sized city that we are capable of being. And I'm just this morning, actually, I was down on All Saints Avenue on All Saints Street, and I was visiting with Elias Mathis, who owns the Grain and the Hop Yard, who's a young entrepreneur that's growing his business. We walked around. He showed me what's going on, and it's a vibrant community that's coming around. And we've got to do a really targeted job and spirited job of making sure that we're helping our local businesses. We've got to grow our local businesses and help them expand and really support that economic engine that they bring to the table. And I think we are, as I said, we're seeing a lot of wonderful things happening. The city's doing a great job, I think, in terms of taking private dollars and invest them in infrastructure to start attracting private dollars to our businesses. And you're seeing that in Midtown. You're seeing that in Gain Street. I mean, this is wonderful ways to create jobs, and I think we need to continue doing that. But we also do it in a managed way, and I think we're seeing that, especially with the Economic Development Council. Kyle Touchstone is doing a great job in making sure that we're doing this in a logical way, working well with the chamber, with the city commission, with the county commission. And I'm excited for the future of our community in terms of economic development. I don't think we need to slow down. I think we just need to continue to work together so that we're all on the same page and moving forward to move our community forward.
Well, even when you have little to no growth, you still have the need for infrastructure in,
yes,
in a community.
Absolutely.
And that's one let Mr. Riddle go through his stuff here while we're kind of setting this one up.
All right. I'm just pulling out one file on campaign.
Like a man who's prepared.
He's ready. He's
contribution.
Let me guess, you're going sidewalks.
I bet you we are, because particularly in Indian Head Acres, yeah, Bubba, which is your community right there, sidewalks have been a big issue since, the 50s, haven't they?
Yes. My neighbor lives next door to me. Who's the third, or maybe the second, resident of Indian Head Acres. And he said, you know, and we talk all the time. He's, you know, lives right next to us. And he said, we certainly could use some sidewalks. And they have put a few in. They, up to Optimus Park. But that's about it. And I understand the cost of sidewalks. You go on the parkway and you see some stuff there and you thought, they've got to have $1 million in handrails on the sidewalk. And I thought, who's going to fall off of this? Maybe I just don't know where the priorities are, it's certainly in the neighborhoods.
How do you as a city commissioner kind of get that battleship turned around where that becomes more of a top-of-mind priority?
It has to be a priority of the commission. Their priorities right now is to basically make this a super-duper town. Well, with those, certain things have to go. And community service seems to be an issue that it's okay, like the people in Myers Park. You know, they've got issues now. And no one seems to really understand when you move to a neighborhood, expect that neighborhood to be free of a lot of noise. I mean, you know, they've allowed this amphitheater to move in, and They've allowed the noise level to go out to where people can't, and it's right next to it, can't get any sleep when they have the concert. So the community's an issue. It's always been an issue, and it should be an issue. My little community should be an issue. I mean, we could use some sidewalks. We don't know amphitheaters. We don't anything like that. But, you know, you take care of your folks. You take care of the home folks. You take care of the people that made this city. You don't take care of the people that come in and take over areas and put up their concrete walls. And it's just not appropriate in my feelings.
You brought up a good point then, balancing the needs of new growth maybe with established neighborhoods. We have organizations, of course, like CONA, Council of Neighborhood Associations, that are very much involved in that. And Mr. Richardson, your thoughts again on balancing that need of, you know, here's the new stuff, we have to put in infrastructure to support that, but at the same time, neighborhoods like Indian Head Acres or a pond out in Killarn Estates that I'm thinking of that, you know, needs some rehab too.
And I'm glad we're having this discussion, Tom, because neighborhoods are the very fabric of Tallahassee. It's one of those things that makes our city so special, be it Summerbrook, Killarn, Eastgate, Woodgate to the north, Gaither, Tuskegee, Appalachie Ridge to the south. We all are fiercely proud of our neighborhoods. I've been a neighborhood association president for the last 18 years. As I mentioned, we formed a neighborhood association when we had some crime issues in our neighborhood. My neighbors elected me president of the association. I haven't been able to give that up since then, Tom, but I'm proud of it because I'm proud of what we've done in our neighborhood. I've served on the board of directors of CONA, and we just have to make sure that we preserve our neighborhoods and keep them strong and that we address the infrastructure needs. Through the sales tax committee, that was one of the issues that we discussed. We had members from the community come and talk to us about the need for sidewalks in some areas that were unsafe for families and for children as they went to school or walked around the neighborhood. And we addressed that. We put millions of dollars into that initiative to address the sidewalk issue, David, and hopefully they'll address the issues in Indian Head. But there are other neighborhoods that do have those same issues, and we just have to make that a priority. And if the community approves the extension of the sales tax, then we'll have some of the money that we need, Tom, to continue addressing the infrastructure needs of our community.
Okay, neighborhood needs, Ms. Oropala, what do you think?
Again, I agree. I mean, I think sidewalks are a priority. That's something that everybody is looking for. But if you've been following the city commission meetings, I mean, part of the problem is the need is greater than the amount of money we have to spend. So there has to be a prioritization process. And I think that's something that as a commissioner we need to be looking at. And the commission is looking at that. In fact, that issue was raised at the last meeting is what is the actual process? Is it a fair process? Let's make sure we have a cogent process that works that we can apply. When you're getting wayfinding systems and that sort of thing, you've got to have a majority of the neighborhood residents agree that they want that. Maybe we need to apply something like that within the sidewalks, but we need to come up with a process that is fair and equitable and is applied across the board, because sidewalks is something that everybody is looking for. All of our neighborhoods are needing them, but there has to be prioritization. Safety has to come first, and then from there we work our way down from there. So that's, you know, and also on that note, I do want to also take this moment to plug the sales tax initiative, the extension. We really must pass that. I mean, the reason we were able to have a lot of the infrastructure we have now, I drove here on Blairstone Road, Blairstone Extension. There is not a major infrastructure project that has happened in the last 10 to 15 years that was not touched by Blueprint 2000 and the sales tax extension dollars. We must pass that in November. There are so many key projects on the horizon, and if we don't extend it, then we're going to be sitting here 20 years from now saying, boy, I wish I had, because we would be in gridlock right now if we didn't have the Capitol Circle flyover or Blairstone or, you know, Tennessee and Gaines Street, Orange Avenue. All these wonderful projects that have happened are touched by sales tax. And so just a real quick plug to please make sure that we continue the progress we're on and so we can plan for the future.
Yeah, and interestingly, how controversial so many of those projects were at the time when they were first proposed. I recall the flyover and the Blairstone extension was just a seething hotbed. People with pitchforks and flaming torches were, you know, attacking City Hall on that one. And today it's accepted as one of the nicest thoroughfares that we have in town.
Oh, I know. Where would we be without that? I mean, I was thinking when I left my house and I'm on Blairstone, how would I get here in the amount of time that I did if we didn't have Blairstone? And every time I'm on Blairstone, I'm thankful that we have it.
Yeah, Tom, I would correct one thing. The flyover was not paid for out of sales tax revenue. Blairstone Road was. In early 2000, a group of us came together when this community was at loggerheads about growth. The environmentalists were against the developers were against the neighborhoods, but there was a small group of us that came together then called the Economic and Environmental Consensus Committee. And we said, listen, we're going to sit down and come up with a plan for moving this community forward. And out of that came Blueprint 2000 that addressed many of the infrastructure needs that existed in the community at the time. We went to the community, told them that these were the projects that we were recommending, that it would take an increase in the sales tax to fund that. And this community, being the kind of community that it is, stepped up and said, yes, we're willing to increase our sales tax to pay for these infrastructure projects. And we've seen the results of that. Cascades Park was our signature project, and we're all just so proud of what that means for our community. And now it is a destination for people from throughout the region that look to that amenity in our community.
Political Perspectives on the air on WFSU-FM and also WFSU-TV. For FSU, Comcast Channel 4, 414-1234, 800-926-8809. If you'd like to hop in the discussion with our candidates for Tallahassee City Commission Seat 2, we'll be right back. Back on Political Perspectives, the Tallahassee City Commission C2 race with the contenders David Riddle, Curtis Richardson, and Diana Orapollo here with us today. And we actually have a call that is coming in on line one. Let's see if we can get up with Carol. Hi, Carol. Welcome to Perspectives. Hello, Carol.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I would like to know what the candidates propose to do to continue the trend that the city has done to protect Wakulla Springs through management of the spray field, and would they also be willing to take an overland tour of the flow of the water into Wakulla Springs?
Okay, we can go around the table and ask that, Carol. Thanks so much for your input. Mr. Riddle, what do you think about wonderful Wakulla out there?
Great. seriously, we've had friends over from Germany. We took them to that, and they just could not believe such a clean, clear water. I mean, it was just hard to believe. And I think more of the issues with that is all those septic tanks that are not in within the city of Tallahassee. They're going to have to be cleared up sooner or later. I don't know what you can do with folks that's not within the city and telling them as far as their septic tanks. They're going to leak eventually, going to have to be replaced eventually, but no one wants to pay it. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, and that's an issue with that. I just cannot believe that they're going to worry about the spring and then themselves are the ones destroying it. I'll go any place. I mean, Wakulla Springs is one of the nicest areas in the state of Florida. So I'm not sure what more I can say, but it has to be cleaned up. And that spray field, I'm not really sure. And I'm sure the city's doing the best they can to clean up. But if the folks that live in the county don't take care of the septic tanks, it's not going to do no good because that water's still going to come out. And it's going to get in our natural resource. It's going to get in our springs, our water, our rivers, any place, all over the county.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be done at the county level. I mean, somebody needs to put a little pressure on them.
Okay. Any ideas from you on that, Mr. Richardson?
Well, I can tell you, Tom, that Wakulla Springs is one of the most beautiful natural resources, not only in North Florida, but in Florida and probably in our region. And for years, it did suffer from pollution that was unfortunately created by runoff and pollution in the aquifer from Tallahassee. But I think once that the issue was brought to the city commission, they didn't shirk their responsibility. They took responsibility for that and put some processes in place in terms of the spray field and our contribution to the pollution of Wakulla Springs. And from what I understand now, the water at the spray field is just about as clean and pure, if not purer, than the water comes out of our faucet at home. And so I commend the City Commission for the actions that they've taken to address that issue. As David said, septic tanks are still a major source of pollution. That water I forget what I'm trying to say here, Tom, but the pollution, rather, from those septic tanks does get into our aquifer because it is so close to the surface here in North Florida, and it contributes to the pollution in Wakulla Springs. During the 2 years that we spent with the sales tax committee, that was a huge issue. We talked about the issue of central sewer. You know, there are a lot of people who move to Woodville because they want that rural lifestyle and they don't want central sewer. And the issue is the cost of connecting to that central sewer and who will bear that cost. And so it's a complicated issue. It's one that we realize we did put money in the sales tax budget for a study to determine the best way to address that issue. But as David said, it's the septic tank issue. We've got some neighborhoods even north of town that are not on central sewer that are contributing to pollution in Lake Talquin, or Lake Jackson, rather. I'm sorry, Lake Jackson. And so we did address that as well.
Okay, ma'am. Ms. Arapalo, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I haven't grown up in Tallahassee. Wakulla Springs was something my family and I would do on a regular basis, you know, so it's very special to me. It's a wonderful natural resource that we're very fortunate to have, and we have to make sure that we protect our natural resources. I mean, we have for our future generations, for my children, for yours, for our grandchildren. I think what we need to do is to have more of you were asking what some of our other platforms are. Public safety is my first priority, but one of the things I think we need to do is collaboratively within our governments, we need to be working better together. And I'm not talking just city commission and county commission. We need to be doing that regionally. And I think that's where this issue can really be addressed, is by pulling together and becoming more collaborative and really working as a region rather than looking out for our own little, you know, our own individual turfs. We have to have a broader perspective in doing that. And that would be one way I think that we can really start addressing this issue and making sure that we are protecting such a great natural resource right in our own backyard.
Yeah, we found that there's even a great deal of pollution that is coming into Lake Talquin from Georgia.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Because it seems to head down towards the Gulf. Everything is kind of connected. Let's open it up a little bit here. Mr. Riddle, what other major concerns or topics of focus do you have that you'd want to bring to the table here?
Campaign contributions. There's a committee out now that's trying to get on the ballot to limit campaign contributions to $250, period. I'm inclined to agree, but I'd make it $100. It's got so money's buying these elections. Instead of earning the votes, they want to get out and buy the votes. You know, masses amount of money. And you look and say, why are they doing this? Who's doing this? And you start looking at it. And believe me, it's all public information. You just have to look. Now, you'll get bored to death. But you'll get a pattern. You'll see what's going on in certain groups or supporting some in certain groups. The mayor, you know. And I told him when he beat me 2 years ago, you know, $116,000 a year. Where's that money coming from? And now it's over $200,000. And some of it's not even from Tallahassee, our little own state of Florida. I think that's an issue. And it needs to be dealt with. You know, we're getting to be just like our national elections. Money talks and BS walks. And that's where it's at. I just have really some issues with that.
And I think most folks probably that are not only at this table but also listening in can recall when less than $10,000 was considered a huge campaign war chest for a Tallahassee City or a Leon County Commission race. And now,
I can believe that.
As you say, you know, going up above $100,000, you know, typically. Mr. Richardson, your thoughts, sir?
Well, you know, Tom, I agree with you. You know, I first ran for office in 1988. And if I spent $5,000 on that entire campaign, I mean, I was new to the process. It was my first time running, and over the years, the cost of campaigning has steadily increased from the local up through the national level. And part of that is determined by the cost of running in a campaign, the cost of television. I just got the rate card from the radio station. A 30-second spot on the radio is $90. The network time, prime time, you know, $300, $400, $500 for a 30-second TV spot. Mail costs, you know, a lot of that drives, unfortunately, you're having to go out and raise those sums of money. Do I think it's right? No. Am I influenced by the money? No. If someone contributes to my campaign, they get no more time with me than my neighbor next door that didn't give me a nickel, because that's what public service ought to be about. And that's how I've always conducted myself in public office. Anyone that has interacted with me anytime I've been in public office or in a state government position to influence policy. That's how I've always conducted myself. So, you know, money, it's one of those necessary evils in running a campaign and being successful and getting your message out there.
Yeah. Any way you think you turn that around, Ms. Rapallo, or what do you do?
Well, it's the system that we have. And the thing is, when we're talking about it's needed to be able to communicate with those voters that you're not able to personally touch. I'm out knocking on doors. I've been knocking on doors for the past several months. I'm not just relying on raising money, but there's no way that I'm going to be able to knock on every single door in this community before the election. I would love to be able to do that, but time is just something there's just not enough time to do that. And I'm the only one knocking on doors. I don't think anyone else should be doing that other than me. And that's why it's taking me a lot longer to get through. But those interactions are important for me. And the reason they're important for me is because my whole perspective is to bring the average citizen perspective to the city commission, which is something I think is sorely lacking. So the money that we do raise for the campaign helps me communicate with those voters that I unfortunately will not get the opportunity to personally reach out to and knock on their door. But by golly, I'm out there trying.
And there's the one little odd Tallahassee quirk we have politically that all other communities seem to have blown off, and that is on Election Day morning, you're going to see all the folks at this table and all the other candidates out there at the major street corners in town waving signs and woo-hooing at people as they go by. That still is something really
– it's a political tradition in Tallahassee.
It really is. It's really kind of sweet. Carol was calling us back. Now, what we'll do is just go a quick go-around. She wanted – again, this is in regards to pollution involving Wakulla Springs and the aquifer down there.
I'm not sure we answered her question about being willing to take
it. Going around. Yes. So let's start with you. Sure. You like Wakulla Springs. Want to take another tour?
Sure.
Okay. As one for David Riddle, Mr. Richardson.
I would be more than happy to do it, Carol. Just give me a call at 545-4945. That's my personal cell phone number. And we'll schedule a time for me to come down and take the tour.
Okay, Ms. Orpala.
Absolutely. Can I bring my kids?
There we go. We're all going to Wakulla Springs. That sounds cool.
Thank you, Carol.
Manatees are good this time of year, too.
Yes.
And notice that they're now relocating in the Wakulla River and all this area. Now the Crystal River has kind of become a little bit too congested for them down there. Absolutely. Just a few minutes left here. Want to get an idea also on something that is very peculiarly Tallahassee, which is our one of our major funding mechanisms for city government, which is the city utility. Mm-hmm. And in order to keep the cost of property taxes down in the city, of course, because we have all these big white buildings and we have university buildings like the one we're sitting in right now that pay no property taxes.
Right.
The citizens of Tallahassee contribute to city government through their utility bills. So with all the growth we were talking about, Mr. Riddle, at some point, do you think we're going to have to look at getting more power and maybe spending more money to get that power?
I think they tried to address that by putting all that money into getting a power plant down in Taylor County. Of course, and the residents say, oh, no, we're not doing that. You're not going to pollute the air. You're not. They've kind of decided what we really want to do. I pay utilities. I just got shocked from Comcast. I got another $100. I got another dollar, and I don't even know what I'm paying it for. But, you know, I'm going to call them today and ask them. But the phone bill ain't the easiest in the world. That, you know, I said, I don't even use those services. Well, I'm getting, our utilities are utilities. I mean, you can't go anyplace else. And they do respond, you know, anytime you got some issues with it. Those guys go up those power poles, my hats are off to them. It's just the nature of the beast. You can't have a clean, perfect power source and not expect high utilities.
Yes.
I don't think we want a nuclear power plant like Crystal River has. It's an issue that hits our pocketbooks. And you got to expect a little bit. Now, I ain't real happy with the fire tax. I never was happy with that. But, you know, they said, well, we need that. Well, if it helps the fire department and if it's really used that way, then fine. But there's some other little bull stuff that's on those bills, and I just don't really understand where they're coming from. And if you call them, they're going to give you a ring around the rosy and make you feel bad for calling. So I said, well, okay. But no, utility, that's expected. It's part of living, just like your health insurance. Forget about that.
Death taxes and electric bills, yeah.
No doubt about it. They're going to get you one way or the other. Yeah, I mean, forget about it. Let's go to something more important, like, you know, crime in the street.
There you go.
Okay. I mean, that's an issue.
Okay, do you think it's an issue, Mr. Richardson? We all remember the coal fight.
Well, you know, Tallahassee is unique in that it's one of the few municipalities that operates its own electric utility in that respect. It has been a major source of revenue for the city. It's a part of the reason we've been able to keep the millage rate at the level that it is and not have to raise taxes. Interestingly enough, Tom, in a briefing that we received from city staff the other day, apparently the revenue generated from the electric and water utilities is actually decreasing, and it's decreasing because of the outreach efforts of the city. The neighborhood outreach program, making people more aware of conservation, turning off lights that you're not using, not using as much water. And so those efforts have been so successful, it's decreasing the revenue from the electric and water utilities. And I want to see those continue. But I think, you know, here in Tallahassee, we're lucky to have a utility like we have. It's rated number one or in the top utilities in the nation. And that's something that we should be proud of and commend the city manager and her staff for that. But I think the community outreach, the neighborhood outreach programs that we've done that have been so successful, the TAP media initiative, making people aware of how we contribute to, you know, the pollution, are all successful programs that I'd like to see continued. And I think we're in pretty good shape in terms of our utility from what I hear people in other parts of the state have to pay to some of the larger utility companies.
Okay, let's get your view here, Ms.
Yeah, absolutely. We are very fortunate in Tallahassee. I mean, literally, our utilities powers our community. I mean, we're able to have the great services that we have because of the utilities, because of the revenue that is generated. And that's what's enabled us. When a lot of other cities, when the recession hit and a lot of other cities were going under, we were in a really good position because our city commission has made sure they planned ahead, and we also had the safety of knowing that we owned our own utilities. That was a major – made a major difference in our ability to sustain that, you know, that hit. But again, I think we're very fortunate to have that. I think it's it, – again, it's – as David said, that's just – that comes with the territory. But we do enjoy a lot of great services because we're able to do that because we own our own utilities.
Folks, it has been a delightful conversation. I really appreciate you all coming
Thank
out.
Thank you, Tom.
So David Bubba Riddle, Curtis Richardson, Diana Arapalo, all the best to you guys in your run-up here for the Tallahassee City Commission C2 race. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lido Rawls on the radio side today. Suzanne Smith, Paul Dam, Adrian Applegate, Tony Bentelin, and Dan Peary on the TV side. I'm Tom Flanagan. Next Thursday, we'll be taking a brief timeout. Lynn Hatter will be on the microphones. Political Perspectives back on Tuesday, July 29th with the candidates for Tallahassee City Commission C3.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.